There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Starting off a couple hours of live local talk. You and I hanging out. Lots to do in the next 2 hours. And, of course, you're a big part of the show. Text lines open. Phone lines open. Plus, you can go to our Facebook page and our Twitter feed and our Instagram page and our website with more details on the Big Green Deal. Over $9,000 worth of goodies for you. You just got to get registered to win. We'll tell you more about that throughout the hour. And focusing on Montgomery, we're talking a little bit this morning. Okay, a lot of it this morning about what's up as tomorrow they gavel back in Montgomery for what seems to be the last few days, or a little more than a few days, of regular session 2019. Of course, a big subject we've talked about as you look at the priority list, things that they wanted to get accomplished in session this year, things they did get accomplished in session this year. One item that has come up many, many times is prison reform in Alabama. And a man who's talked with us about this over the years, yeah, around here it isn't just a recent story, it's a story we've been talking about for years, and that's Alabama State Senator Cam Ward out of District 14 joining us again now on Midday Mobile. Hey, Cam.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for being on. Before we go any further, and I want to get into all the conversations on prison reform, but just a side note. So how does it feel to make Saturday Night Live? I saw your picture on SNL.
Oh, yeah. They put it's interesting. They put the 25 white males,
mm-hmm.
they said.
And y'all got booed.
Into law.
Yeah, y'all got booed.
They kind of forgot about
boo.
The female
sponsor. Yeah. Later on, well, at first they booed the white males, and then later on I think the comment was, I can't believe a female would sign this law. I think last week on social media I saw them trying to revoke the woman card for Governor Ivey. So,
well, the calls you get from California on this, gotten calls from California and Canada, and it's quite interesting some of the calls because it's near hysterics on some of the phone calls you get.
Oh, you've done this for us before. Can you pull the curtain back a little bit on that? As a state senator, you vote here on Alabama's abortion law, you vote for it, and then the calls you get. I mean, is it stuff that comes into your voicemail, or does somebody say, hey, there's somebody on the phone for you? Cam, how did...
They come... Well, first of all, they call my office. I find this ironic. They call our office, and my assistant, and chief assistant, Carol, my assistant, she's a woman with two kids, and they call and cuss her out.
Lovely.
And berate her because they can't understand how she could work for such evil people. And then they post online is where you see it the most, and basically threaten. I actually had several people that wished my wife and daughter could be raped and murdered in front of my eyes.
And they say this to you? They say this on social media?
Oh, absolutely. They post on social media a lot. And you screen save them because you realize these are people that say they want you to respect a woman.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they wish that on a teenage daughter and your wife. You really got to wonder what's wrong with people.
You wonder about these people. You know, I've seen it, Lord knows, at a smaller degree in my business that have a lot of things to say behind a keyboard. But if you see them in person, if they get in an uncomfortable situation where they end up seeing you in person, it all seems to be, hat in hand at that point.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly right. It's just a strange... That is people who spend their time like that all the time, you really got to wonder about them sometimes. You just really do.
Well, I hate that your assistants having to hear that. You know,
well, they shouldn't because they're just work. They're just doing their job every day. You know,
right.
They're not policymakers. They're just doing their work, and they get that kind of beratement from all the ladies that work up there. That's unfortunate.
That is for sure. All right. We're going to, we may talk about that and some other things going on right now in Montgomery as y'all get ready to get back to work tomorrow. I mean, how many days of regular session are left? Not much.
I feel like we're probably done, not this week, but late next week.
So y'all will come, you think you will come back after Memorial Day?
Yeah, I think we'll come back. I think Tuesday after Memorial Day, probably go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then be done that Friday.
Okay, so that brings us to a discussion that, you know, it's to look around the state, not saying that no one's been paying attention, but it seems like statewide news is all of a sudden in the last month or so say, hey, we got an issue with prisons in Alabama. We got some real issues to deal with. What, you and I first started talking about this, I think, 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. We've been talking about this for a while, you and I have.
And now here we go. And I wonder, because last time you and I talked, we were in kind of a window of time that DOJ had presented this letter to the state, talked about where we were failing in Alabama prisons, and kind of gave a deadline, right? And I feel like it's what, this month or next month?
Actually, it'd be tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
The 21st. Yeah, what they do is, what it's called, and the acronym means something, it's called a CRIPA lawsuit. They do this, they bring in, and when they issue a finding, they have to give you 49 days before they can actually file a lawsuit. That's why they do that.
Okay.
That doesn't mean they're going to file one. It just says that after that 49 days, then they're legally allowed to if they want to. We've talked a lot with the Department of Justice, and I do not think they will file a lawsuit anytime soon because we are acting in good faith and have been working with them to start coming up with some solutions and ideas that they recommend.
And this is something that will be, and I want to get to this in a second on how it works, but this would be addressed in special session, do you believe?
Yeah, I think you have to, because you're talking about 5 or 6 different issues. And, you know, we're talking with prosecutors. We're also talking with victims' rights advocates. We're also meeting with people at DOC on the sentencing side. Because on sentencing, they told us that we have to, somewhere over a 4 or 5 year period, need to shrink our numbers by about 1,800 to 1,900 people. So the question is, how do you get there? And you need to do it based upon data, not based upon what may sound good in theory, but in practice doesn't move the numbers at all. But it takes time to gather that kind of data together from the staff over at the Alabama Sentencing Commission to give us an idea of what works and what doesn't.
Okay, yeah, I mean, but lower the water or raise the bridge, right? I mean, this is a situation where
you're going to do it one way or the other. You know, it's not a choice. You're going to do it.
So how do we address this? I mean, the choices right now, and we'll get into the detail because that's what we do around here. But I mean, up front, you either have to build more availability, build more prisons, build more space in prisons.
And I think you're going to build some, but here's the problem.
Yeah.
Building's not going to, they're going to tell you this. The last time we tried to solve this, we got put in receivership. We did that. We just built a bunch. And then you're right back at it. I don't think that's going to satisfy their concerns, just building a whole lot more. I think you got to build some to satisfy the conditions that the judge issued it, ordered on us, but I don't think you're going to build your way out of the problem.
Oh, so you got to do both, you're saying, is lower the water and raise the bridge.
So DOJ and Judge Thompson, two separate issues. One, both of them have two things in common. One, they want population shrunk, and two, they want the conditions on the inside changed. That's very common with both those suits.
Well, I think everybody would want some element to have the population shrunk. That, you know, we would hope that would mean that people obeyed the laws. But are they saying Alabama?
That's right.
They say Alabama changed your laws so you don't put so many people in jail?
That's what they're saying. You've got way too many in there, and that's, you know, hey, that's not Cam and Sean. That's Donald Trump's Department of Justice telling us that.
Yeah, and they're saying that we've got to get this done. You said that timeline, they probably won't file the suit, but we're rendering period.
They want us to act sooner rather than later. They don't want us kicking this down for another whole year, though.
Okay, so as you look down the list of what would, there's got to be a triage list. In other words, some things like building prisons, obviously, you have to get the agreement, then you have to start building them. It's a long-term proposition.
Mm-hmm.
What is the low-hanging fruit, for lack of a better, like, what are y'all working right now? Like, you had your press conference last week. What are you doing?
That's why you're probably going to have a special session, because there is no low-hanging fruit left. I mean, we've cleared all that out. Your population is one of the most violent prison systems in the country. So it's not like there's a lot of people who are there just solely for marijuana or sitting in our prisons. Those numbers aren't there. So what we're looking at is about 5 bills. We had a great group working together, Democrats and Republicans, House and Senate, But you got a construction component, you got a sentencing reform component, you got a bill that holds these officers and wardens who are engaged in some of these sex abuse or aware sex abuse or suicide problems, to hold them accountable. So you've got a range of things you got to tackle at one time.
Now, okay, when you talk to, and as much as you can tell us, but when you talk to folks from the DOJ, do they let you know, without being an official response, but do they let you know that if y'all get this done by this date, you know, if y'all will get that thing and that thing done by 2020, then y'all are cool? Or do they put it that way? Do they?
No, what they tell us is, look, we want to see, one, that you're taking it serious, and two, that you're making actual we see that you're actually taking this on and making progress. You're not saying that you do it by X date, then you're okay or not. What they're saying is, we want to see that you're serious and you're actually making progress on it. You're not paying us lip service. That's what they want to see.
I mean, the worry is that scares me. It probably scares you more, since you're in charge of doing this, is that is subjective, right? I mean, I like objective goals. Like, if y'all will get this and this, then that gives you another 6 months breathing room or something. But
because
you're saying that's
so
not the thing.
Different issues involved in it. The big thing is, they've worked with us. They've been very good to work with. They give us ideas and suggestions, and, hey, here's a couple suggestions here you might want to think about. You might want to look at doing this. And by having that dialogue back and forth, that gives you a good idea of what they're thinking is.
All right, we come back from the break. More with State Senator Cam Ward. I want to talk about what those things are and about the special session. You know, if we change sentencing reform, you got pushback. You heard the senator speak about victims' advocacy groups. I know the Association of District Attorneys pushing back as well. And then on the flip side, what about brick and mortar and bars and building facilities and all that? I mean, that can't exactly be a fast turnaround. More of that conversation we'll have with Senator Cam Ward when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, right back to our discussion with State Senator Cam Ward, who has been talking about this subject of prison reform in Alabama with us for years, and I continue to enjoy his input on this and a lot of work you've done. I mean, this has been, I mean, you do all the other jobs of a state senator, but this has been, you're kind of branded with this.
Yeah, one way, good for good or for bad. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, for good or for bad, that's right.
Okay, so, and remind folks that maybe have not followed this throughout the years, what is the hammer, the DOJ, and in this case, it's not, you know, it used to be the Obama Justice Department, but now it's not. Now it's President Trump's.
These were all prosecutors, all three U.S. prosecutors appointed by President Trump. On behalf of the Trump Justice Department have said, you're either going to get your act together, or we're going to go to a federal court, and we're going to get it done for you.
And tell folks what the example of getting it done for us. Y'all listen to this. What does that mean?
Well, here's what happens. They can go to a federal judge, and this happened to us actually in the late 1970s, early 1980s. And they put you in what's called a receivership, which means a judge oversees your prison system. He can make you do anything he wants with that system, and then you have to pay the bill. And you pay for whatever he wants you to do, and you just don't have a choice. And so you lose control of your budget process. But like in California, they spent billions of dollars complying, doing what a judge told them to do, because they just ignored the judge to begin with.
And they had to release people who had not served their time. Am I correct?
About 43,000 people they released. Wow. And I don't think any of us want that.
No.
And that's public safety is first and foremost, so we need to comply with this so we can maintain public safety.
Yeah, there in California, if I remember too, it wasn't it was decided by the feds, right? It wasn't like that they. Mm-hmm. I mean,
the feds made them do it. Yeah,
and people that went out and committed further crimes were released mm-hmm. through that, right?
And crime rate went up. Yeah, and okay. So you know, it all goes back to the Eighth Amendment. Can't mm-hmm. violate. They're saying we're in violation of the Eighth Amendment, which is the Cruel and Unusual Punishment Amendment.
What about this? Okay, this question coming down the text line. It's been addressed a few times. I'll let you have at it again here. Well, if they would have passed marijuana decriminalization, it would have relieved some of the prison population.
If you look at the number of people in prison today, out of the 21,300 people in Alabama's prisons today, those there solely for marijuana, you're right at about, I think we're now at 21 people out of 21,300.
Wow. So that
decrim really doesn't change. It really doesn't. It's not for your state prison. Now, there are people in county jails on marijuana possession. So if you're talking about county jails, that would be the case. But we're talking about state prisons.
All right. With the state prison situation, you got to address it a couple different ways. As you said, you have to lower the prison population. How do you do that without just doing what we talked about in California? Just open the doors, letting people out?
What you do is you do it over a period of time. So, you know, by natural attrition, you're going to have some people who are maybe a 80-something-year-old inmate who's bedridden. Maybe that person who's never going to get out of bed again, that's somebody you transition to another facility like a nursing home. There's ways you do it over a period of time without just opening the doors arbitrarily to a bunch of people, letting them out.
Okay, so you work that method, and you're talking about some of this in your press conference, but you work that, but then there's the other part. And the other part is, I wish tomorrow people would start acting right and the need for prisons would be very rare.
Yes.
But I don't see it happening anytime soon. What are we going to do about the infrastructure of prisons in Alabama?
You've got to change that, too. Judge Thompson, who's got another case before us right now, has said you will change the conditions of those prisons. And you know, it's not an ask. He's saying you will. So there's been some proposals batted around on construction. No, if you've been to a state prison in Alabama, nobody is living in a Holiday Inn. No
right.
prison is air conditioned. No prison has color. There's not all these color TVs all around. And that's fine. Nobody wants it to be that way. But at the same time, you've got to improve the conditions to a constitutional standard. Or, again, a judge is going to make you do it. So there'll be some sort of construction proposal in there.
That, I guess, is one of the takeaways, too, is this is going to happen. This change to our system is...
Yeah, whether we do it or the federal judge does it for, but it's going to happen.
Right. There's y'all that say, well, the heck with it. We don't need to change anything. It is going to get changed.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're just trying to decide...
They'll do it for us.
Right. So if Alabamians want to say so and how this happens, because we are going to pay for it either way, and it's going to happen. But if we want to have a say-so, we have to act now.
I think they'd rather elected representatives who are accountable to the voters doing it as opposed to an unelected federal judge who's accountable to nobody doing it. I mean, I would assume they would want somebody they can call up and yell at and cuss if they don't like what's going on, as opposed to a federal judge who doesn't care.
You know, here we are towards the last of session, I guess, and the budget's been discussed, but I don't know if we've got any kind of money in that budget for an increased budget for building prisons. I didn't hear about it.
You don't necessarily have to. You could do a lot of your construction by closing old ones, and the savings from those could go to the new ones. So you could do that with about out a big budget increase. Now, we did. Another issue we have is the understaffing. We don't have enough guards in there, officers, I should say. And since we don't have enough officers, they've already mandated that we have to hire. We're going to hire somewhere around 2,000 more officers in the next 3 or 4 years. So we've increased the budget this year for prisons by $40 million just to hire the officers to meet Judge Thompson's order.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, you can't drive up. Every time I've come up to Montgomery this session, I see the signs up and down 65 for hiring those folks. But people might not understand, why is additional hiring going to bring down the cost of Department of Corrections staffing?
Well, see, and therein lies the biggest debate.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if what they're saying is right now, it's a lot cheaper to hire more people than it is to have them do the amount of overtime they're doing. Because they get paid, you know, we're spending a lot of money on overtime. And according to DOC's estimates, hiring more people is a lot cheaper than continuing this exorbitant amount of money we're spending on overtime.
Y'all listen to that. I mean, this is the stuff I think that gets lost in the little soundbite stuff. And that's why I appreciate you coming back on all these times
sure.
with us. Is that, y'all, that having more corrections officers means the cost per correction officer is coming down, right? I mean,
correct. And also, what it also means is the safety also for those officers inside the walls, it helps protect them and their safety. Because right now, why would you want to be an officer in that situation? I mean, that's a terrible job to have.
Now, and that's the problem. You say that's true, and then you're trying to recruit people at the same time to do that job.
You got to pay them. Yeah, that's right. And that makes it extremely hard to recruit people. So you can see the circular. The merry-go-round just keeps going and going.
That's for sure. Okay, what about special session? We've got a couple minutes here. What's the plan?
I think if you're going to do this, I'd love for once, let's do the whole nine yards. Let's be done with it so we're not doing this year after year with another Band-Aid, another reaction. My preference, and only the governor can call a special session, my preference would be sometime in the fall. Give us time to get the numbers together, what's going to work, what doesn't work, and make sure let's get everybody's input and do it right before we go rushing into something.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess, but if I just hear that and I don't know the other facts, I'm going to say, hey, y'all, if this is such a big deal and this is about to come down like a sledgehammer on us, why y'all want to wait until September instead of doing it finish regular?
Well, because here's why. Because so let's just say I rush out and throw some sentencing reform bill out there, haphazard, it's got all the flaws in it, and then I come back in 6 months and go, huh, that's not going to move the numbers at all, and now I had these other unintended consequences, now I got to come back next year and fix that mess.
There
so
we go.
Get it right. Don't just rush into it and end up having to fix the mess you've already created.
What do you think on build? Do you think a conversation about physically building the new prison structures will happen in special, or will something the governor address?
I think it all has to be part of a special, yeah. All of it, do it all at one time. No more cherry-picking here and there on what issues we're going to talk about. Do the whole thing at one time.
All right. And the idea, I know it was discussed about the governor. I never didn't hear Governor Ivey say it herself, that she might do a executive action here to have a private contractor build.
And that's why we're having that conversation with her now. There are those in the legislature who want us to continue to do that as opposed to her. But that conversation's ongoing right now, Sean, with her.
All right. And you do feel that with what's happening right now, that we will have the ability to have this special in September and not have the feds in the short term come after us?
I do. I feel confident about that.
I always appreciate the updates. We'll be checking back with you soon, maybe at the end of regular session.
Yeah, I'd love to, Sean.
All right. State Senator Cam Ward, District 14, who has been the point person on Alabama prison reform for many years. Many years has been working on this, and here it is. I mean, this is absolutely a clear and present danger for the state of Alabama. Listen to the details in what the senator says. We'll get your calls on this when we return. Your comments at 343-0106. 343-0106. Coming right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. You saw that story about billionaire investor Robert Smith paying off I think it's 400 seniors at Morehouse College their student loan debt. Can you imagine, like Dalton mentioned earlier, he had heard somebody suggest, what if you're the guy that said, you know what, I'm just not going to finish up this semester. I'm just not going to take that class. I'm going to let it ride and try to finish up next year. Dang it. Mess that one up. All right. To the phones and the text line we go at 343-0106. 343-0106. Steven is in Satsuma, and he's first up. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Sean. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Thanks for the call.
Great. Thanks for taking my call. 9:35, and I'm kind of short on time here, so I'll make it short. About 35 years ago, our state attorney general, Charles Braddock, pushed through two bills. One was the Habitual Offender Act, which increased the amount of time that the judges were demanded to give people. Mm-hmm. You know, had a sentencing guideline. But he also passed the 226 Act, I believe what the number was.
What is it?
Where it prohibited. It was 226 Act.
Okay.
It was an act, not a law. It was an act that prohibited the earning of good time. So you got judges giving out bigger sentences and no way for the inmates to earn good time to shorten their sentences. Now, they've come back and kind of whittled away at that a little bit. I think 15 years and under can earn good time. But from personal experience with friends and such that's done a lot of time, the recidivism rate for somebody that's been locked up 15 or 20 years, I mean, there's no future for them out here. I mean, right. The chances of them coming out after doing that kind of time and making it, even with taking advantage of the educational programs and stuff that the prison system has, is not very good.
So you're saying what? That they, but you still, if they serve their debt to society, they're coming out, right? I mean, And you're just saying that the recidivism, I mean, what do you do about that?
Well, we've got to do more to rehabilitate them. We've got to give them an incentive to do right and give them another chance to, you know, after I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, give them a chance. Now, I'm not talking about cold-blooded murders or heinous crimes and stuff like that.
Right.
But people that you have, all right, I keep hearing the fact that there's not a lot of people in there serving time for marijuana.
Right.
Or drugs.
Well, let me clarify what he said, too, that are just in there for drugs. Now, there's a whole bunch of violent criminals that are in there because drugs had something to do with it, but they're in there, you know, for a violent crime. But he's talking about, like, people that just got busted with drugs.
Right, right. Okay. And you've got it exactly right. There is a whole bunch of them that's in there because of a drug addiction.
Sure.
Or an alcohol addiction. And, you know, and
then they did the bad, then they did the violent, thing to get money or deal the stuff or something like that.
Right. And if it had not been for the addiction, you may have never had any problems out of those people in society.
Agreed.
I'm not sure what the answers are. And I know it's not a short term fix to this thing. But if we want to keep the federal government out of our business, then we've got to come up with a solution. We've got to take care of our own business.
Steve, hallelujah. I mean, I appreciate the call. And that's what the senator and I have been talking about all these years. It's not y'all, it's because people come up to me and say, I don't want to, they're in prison because they're bad. I'm with you. I mean, if y'all have listened to any period of time, I think it's pretty obvious I'm, you know, where I stand on law enforcement and where I stand on protecting public safety. Okay. And let me point out, too, there are groups like the Alabama District Attorneys Association and others that have pushed back about any kind of changes that could be made. To lower Alabama's incarcerated rate. I get that. At the same time, y'all, this DOJ thing, now this is not, you know, it was when this was first started, back during the Bentley administration that he first convened this panel, which is bipartisan, Democrats and Republicans working on this in Alabama. You know, you could say, well, the Obama DOJ is going to come down. Obama DOJ is going to bring the hammer down on Alabama. And then you were saying, well, we're just waiting for, you know, a change in Washington and things will be better. Mm-mm. DOJ now, with President Trump's appointees, are saying the same thing. Okay, so this isn't going away. This isn't going away. And you can dislike it. I understand that. But what got me tuned in on this is years ago looking and reading what happened in California. I don't want that happening here in my home. I don't want we, the taxpayers of Alabama, to pay for all these things. At the same time, the feds get to decide how many people are going to be let out of jail, and we don't get to decide for what reason and what kind of people. I mean, this is, but the problem is, there's no political capital in this. There's nothing, this is something they don't want to deal with. They're not even dealing with it in regular session. They're going to push it to special session because nobody wants to deal with it because of the attitude if people are not educated on this issue, you're going to be like, why are they trying to go soft on criminals? Y'all, it's not going soft on criminals. This is a big deal, what it could mean for our state. In other words, we've got to change something either way. The feds are now on it. They're not going to let us go. Okay? We're not getting out of this. We're in the wrestling move. Okay? They've got us in the headlock. We got to decide how we tap out. Do we tap out the way they want us to or the way we want us to and get them to agree? That's where we are. This conversation has gone on a long time. We're further down the road than saying, well, we can just ignore it. We can't. Let's go to Carl in Mobile next. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Carl. How's it going?
Hey, good.
Oh, I got a question. They talking about, you know, maybe build more prisons or close mm-hmm. some to help out this mm-hmm. way and that other. What about all the people that are on death row that we had to pay for 20, 30 years before they do what they're supposed to be doing with them?
Right. Well, I mean, and I'll say this, that's a whole other discussion, but I don't know that there are enough people, and Dalton maybe can run the numbers for me, but enough people on death row in Alabama that you could, if you're saying, hey, let's just hurry up and get the show on the road, which has to be done through an appeal process, but I don't think that's enough to change this issue. It's like a big percentage reduction. When this started, we were at 186% of full of capacity of Alabama prisons. They've winnowed it down to like, I think it's 160% now. I don't have the number in front of me, and that's still not enough. Weird thing is, in prison parlance, 100% is not 100%. I think 120% equals full. Don't ask me why, Carl. It's just 120%. I go along with the way they work their stuff. 120% is full. So with that being said, they got to get it down to 120%. Now, what do? You either lower the water or raise the bridge, right? But Senator Ward saying you got to do both to make this happen, that we can't build our way out of it fast enough. So how do we keep people from either going in or staying in prison? I don't know. But, I mean, we got to do something before the DOJ tells us how we're going to do it.
I believe that
sums it up. I appreciate your calling. I'm sorry, it's just something I've been dealing with for some years on this show, and I guess when people disagreeing with how we get there, man, that's how the process is done. That doesn't bother me at all. I think that makes for interesting debate and conversation. But when people say, well, I don't care, you're going to care. I mean, you're going to care, and we're trying to avoid that. Now, the other thing there's so many things that are counterintuitive in this. And one of them is this idea of how you save money by building prisons. Okay, first of all, let me go through some backstory stuff, because I had, I think, probably a lot of reactions that you may be having. I had when I first started talking about this. I asked the folks that were on this commission, I said, why don't you just put tents out there? Why don't we put tent camps outside? I mean, look at Atmore, right? Look at what's going on there. We could put all those fields out there. We could put tent camps and fences and razor wire around them. They said, that would cost us more. And I said, what? And they pointed out that, because a lot of people say, well, Joe Arpaio got it done out in the debt. Actually, the cost of having prisoners in like a tent situation like that outside is more per day than having them in a prison, because the real cost long term is the staffing of corrections officers. The brick and mortar seems to, over time, and probably has long since been paid for, right, in Alabama with the structures we have. But the problem is that the prison, as they're saying, the prisons are old here, so it takes more corrections officers to cover X number of prisoners. If you build out modern facilities, fewer corrections officers can oversee more people. So that's why the value, because the cost, they're saying, is really in salary, not in brick and mortar, at least long term. Second of all, the reason there's not been political will here, let's just say this. If they're talking about shutting down, and I wish they could just tweak this and say, hey, why don't we just try to build new prisons right next to the old prisons? Because you're getting people, and I mean, people right down here in our neck of the woods, it's up in St. Clair County and around the state, where there are prison facilities that mean a lot of jobs for a lot of folks. And those members of the House and Senate don't want to sign on to something that could mean a loss of jobs for their constituents, right? That's their job, to make sure they're doing right for their constituents. But in doing that, they're fighting something that is going to affect the whole state. That's the problem. If there was a way to get those people on board that had a dog in the hunt, in other words, they had people in their communities, in their districts, their House districts or their Senate districts that work at these facilities, if there was a way to have those people retain those jobs and then maybe cap it off instead of hiring all the new people and have the new facility, maybe that would work. But that discussion hasn't happened. Here we've gone through a whole regular session, and it's been this big issue. It's been the gorilla in the room. And it'll be pushed to a special session. And we are at the narrowest of margins on this. All right. Coming right back, we'll take some more calls. Got a lot of texts coming in here at 343-0106. Love to hear from you as well. 343-0106. Remember, check out the website, fmtalk1065.com. Go back and get podcasts of this show or any of the myriad of other shows during the week, and grab the podcast onesie twosie there, or you can subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or TuneIn Radio. Plus our online opinion poll questions, our top three stories of the day, weekday schedules, weekend schedules, host bios, all that kind of good stuff waiting for you right now. FMTalk1065.com, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
1251 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Hey, coming up after the top of the hour news, Representative Stringer is going to join us. And I want to talk to him about this. Obviously, from his side, it's going to be interesting with his lifetime in law enforcement and now, of course, in Montgomery, the prisons situation from his perspective. Plus, we'll talk about the vaping bill that has gotten a lot of attention here to deal with teens and the actual equipment for vaping. Well, I'll let him explain more coming up in just a little bit. Also, from the text line here, let's see. Yeah, the murderers, even life in prison, need to be exiled into another country. What country is taking those? Paul can say, I'm sure KIV can shove another tax down our throats to pay for the new prisons. Ah, Polkett, I had the idea. Nobody went with it. Because we'll come back and talk about where the lotto stands. Right? By the way, just give you a little primer. Where it looks like now. Remember, there were two lotto bills, or the McClendon bill and the Albritton bill. The Albritton bill seemed to have more traction. It was voted through the Senate by a very narrow margin, went into the House. The House has made some tweaks to it. One of those tweaks, instead of it being 100% general fund, well, actually, at first they were suggesting you pay off the oil and gas trust fund, what we took out of the lockbox there, right, $170 million some odd dollars, and then it would be, I think, 100% general fund is where the money would go from the lotto. Now in the House, the change has been a 75-25 split, 75% going to general fund, 25% going to the ETF, the Education Trust Fund. Okay, and maybe if that happens, I really don't have a... I guess my only motivation would be the fact that I told you all this thing wouldn't pass without a doing it for the kids angle, and maybe I end up being correct on that. But here's the issue, that it came out of the Senate with the narrowest of margins in the Senate. Now, there have been substantive changes made to the bill in the House. When it goes back to the Senate, will it have the votes? A lot of people are saying no. There's a lot of people in Montgomery telling me they don't think the lotto, unless something different than that's happening right now happens with this, it passes. But Polkant, to get back to your initial text, my idea was you use the lotto to fund prisons. Alabama's prison lotto. Well, you don't do it for the inmates. No. Why don't you, if it is, and I agree, a very big priority for the state, why don't you find all this newfound revenue? Because, I mean, if you talk to most people, I think they just want the right to play lotto. They just want the right of referendum here and to vote to do lotto. So what do they care where the money goes? Or what about, I suggested in the past, Alabama, which I think we're still, if we're not leading the nation, we're a very close runner-up, second or third, for the number of customizable license plates you can get in Alabama, right? You've got the regular Alabama license plate, but who wants that? You get all the specialty ones. Square dancing. One here that we have a square dancing one. Antique vehicles, help out whatever charity. You get the farm tag. I like those. The ag tags for the vehicle. All those things. What about, and there's one, of course, for schools, helping schools, right? You can get that license plate for helping. What about helping prisons? Because they're making the license plate, right? Anyway, at the prison, right? So why don't we make it even better? And it can be, you can select when you go to get your license, you get the regular license plate, or if you want to do something different, you want to be able to make sure you stand out in the parking lot there at work, helping Alabama prison's license plate. And the money goes to the sea, and they would be stamped at the prison. Maybe even the design, you know, they had kind of a school design on the school one. They could have like a relief drawing, you know, maybe some kind of hand-sketched Atmore prison, something Holman thing on there, something like, and you could get that plate helping prisons. So, Polkat, maybe there are other ways than just having a tax. What about a lotto? And actually, by default, if the lottery is putting 75% or 100% into the general fund, in fact, it will be funding prisons somehow. So, maybe lotto will do that. Benjamin says, let Costa Rica hold on to our prisoner. How much they charge per prisoner? Huh? How much they... Is it a deal? Because you know where the deal is. Another side note that's kind of interesting. Jails versus prisons. And I know a lot of people end up using those two terms interchangeably. They're not. But at a jail level, and at a prison level, but a jail level, the feds pay county jails to hold federal inmates. And I think at the state prison level, too. And they pay a rate higher than what it costs in the state of Alabama to keep the prisoners. So what we should do, instead of, maybe we can outsource some of our prisoners, but we just need to make extra space and put a bunch of federal detainees and prisoners in there, and we're going to make money on the deal. So these are just ideas. What? Somebody does not like my... Well, why wouldn't you have... They're making the license plates at the prison. Why wouldn't you have the... helping Alabama prisons license plates. Come on, we'll put that right next to the Square Dancer one on the website. Let's go to the phones, and Bart is in Sims. Hey, Bart.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
You wanna decrease the prisoners and make it a lot less in there?
Right.
Okay. All right.
You got an idea for us?
Don't they basically lose their rights?
When you're a ward of the state, yeah, you lose most of your rights when you're a ward of the state, yes. All right.
First of all, take away their cell phone, take away their cigarettes, take away their TVs. Take away their rape weight rooms. You know, look, they're in prison. Okay? And then, if they got any medical issues, I know they have to take care of all that crap. When they get out, keep a record of it, they have to pay all that back.
Yeah, you have to, I mean, that's part of the lawsuit. You do have to take care of the medical issues when they're in there. I mean, that's part of what DOJ is saying. That we're not doing a good job of. And cigarettes and cell phones and all that stuff are contraband. They're against the law. Inside, they're not supposed to be in the prison. They're smuggled in.
Yeah. Well, what about the TV? Do they have weight rooms and all that mess?
I don't have any weight rooms, but Alabama has some of the starkest prison conditions in the nation.
All right. Well, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Why can't they talk every morning, say 6 o'clock, have them out somewhere working? I'm talking about, if you have to chain them back together, I don't care.
Right.
Get them out of the cells every morning, 6 o'clock.
Well,
work
they say...
Work until noon.
Yeah.
Let them have a break. Work them until 5, 6 o'clock at evening. Put them back in there.
When they did that in Limestone County, that got shot down. And they... Actually, I think... I got to check the stats on that part, but I think that costs more per prisoner than keeping them in the cell. I think chain gang work is more expensive, I think. I have to double check that. All right, we'll be right back.